judgment of Rosh Hashanah.
Every person is made up of two elements. The elements are Malchus and Zeraah. Malchus is an aspect of receiving, accepting. That's when we have no inner strength. Don't have any inner strength to do much. Can't. Can't. Advance as usual, step by step. I have to just hold on, try to hold my own. He says, when you're down, you know, the Tzila Shel Nefecho, when I make the netherworld my bed, here you are. Well, here you are. I got to really hold on. I'm not working now on advancing so much as holding on. Just hang on. Just hold strong. That's what I need to work on when I'm in that state. This is the kind of called the Zeraanfin. Zeraanfin, a miniature presence, means a person's emotions, having Hashem in my emotional state. I'm not desperate now. I can bestow kindness. I can make proper limits. I can work on being more truthful, right? Chesed Gvurah Tiferes. Then we have Netzach Hod Yisod. Netzach means the victory to keep moving no matter what. And Hod is to thank Hashem. And Yisod is to realize that every time I do counts, it makes a difference. It's producing things. It's making things. Very beautiful. But below that is the Malchus. Now, there's a Bechina that's called receiving and a Bechina that's called bestowing. Right? So I'm, as it were, able to bestow. As a bestower, what do I do? What do I do with my positive potential? When you only have potential, when something's only potential, not actual, it's... Hello? 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 When I do something that has only potential, not actual, it's not really worthwhile. It's not really worthwhile. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't have anything. It's not real yet. It's only, it could be. It's like a dream. Dream, you know, if you have a plan or a dream, aspiration is very beautiful, but to make it real, it has to be real. Every person is made up of these two elements.
So we have...
Yes, it's true that the will is the most important thing, but Renachman says, don't say, therefore, I get up, I have my will, and I'm done. So try to get it done. In the end of the day, the main thing is the will. Of course, and the desire, and the yearning, yes, definitely. But not to say, therefore, I have a dispensation. I want, you know, I really want. You know, Pastor Nicola, I want so bad. Come on, you know, if you really want, you know, you'll do it. I really want to fast. Pastor Nicola. You don't really want to fast. There's different. There's very nothing. It's also good to want. The person really wants, but his wanting is not yet in a place where he can do. In that element, he's an malchus. I'm just going to hold on and just keep on trying to yearn at least, because that's all I can do. I can handle. I can't really do more than that. Too much for me. Too hard for me. Fine. That's the situation. Now, okay. So these two elements. There are different bodies that God created. In terms of a body, a man is more the bestower. Why? Because he can be steady. He has a steady, wakes up in the morning, has the same basic day, goes to bed. Generally speaking, unless he's very depressed or he's having a really hard time or he's ill, that's not going to change. It's not ups and downs. There is ups and downs, of course, but it's not... I don't know what's going on. It's not ups and downs. It's steady. There's ups and downs within that, but I have steady, like physically, I'm on a steady ship. The body of the Zohar is a ship, I'm on a steady ship. A female body has its ups and downs in terms of the body. It's nothing to do with the soul, it's nothing to do with the person, maybe she's a better bestower, it doesn't matter. But I'm on there's ups and downs which are just hormonal and that are just part of who she is. So, that's why it says in our parsha that you should not, a man shouldn't wear woman's clothing, a woman should wear a man's clothing, because it's not so easy to be, the Rikanti explains, it's not so easy to be a woman in a man's body, or the opposite, man in a woman's body. So you don't put on a woman's clothes, not a good idea, it can mess you up. So Same thing, that's how he explains it. He has the ideas, I mean, he alludes to these very, very deep ideas here. That's why we say Shlosh and Gish also, I have the ability to be steady. I don't have to go up and down. So sometimes the up and downs take me to a much higher place. If she wants, she can go to a very high place. She just has to really be strong and throughout the ups and downs, use that to go further, go higher. And that's very beautiful. But nevertheless, there's a Bechina that's called bestowing, there's a Bechina that's called accepting, two different aspects. And that's how things are. So Rosh Hashanah, every person has these two aspects. And on Rosh Hashanah, the attribute of justice calls on two witnesses. Witness number one is Zeranpin, the aspect of bestowing in every man and every woman. The aspect of bestowing. So the woman will be the heir of Zeranpin of Mafas, it doesn't matter. The different meanings of Mafas, it doesn't make a difference. Bottom line is, there's a witness happening. We get a judgment. What happens Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, what happens is, when a person had a really amazing year, when a person at least had reason El, during El he's yearning, he's trying, he's searching out, he wants to change, wants to make it part of me, wants to be better. So, when that's the case, when that's where the person is, so, what happens is, before the shofar, there's a bechina that's called Tardema. Chiz Dari is like sleeping. There comes a great slumber on the world, trying to, we're starting now to renew the world, think of the world. Totally fresh new year. So there's an aspect of sleeping and slumber before them. It's kind of like an anesthetics, as it were. A person's like, he's out. So when you're out, you need to be out in a way that's a bechin of nevuah. The person, he says that, you know, he fell down to have a vision, a holy vision. So the person can be out, but he's connected, he's holding, he's strong, his prayer is connected, he's just feeling the shaft. Or he can be out in terms of feeling like, he's like, he's like, get into it, I'm having a hard time. Like, that means, that's the first witness. Witness someone. He says, listen, this guy, Elo, didn't do it right. Didn't make it right. That's the first witness. Then the next witness, this is the mouth. The first witness, receiving, that's the prayer. How much prayer did you do? How much did you want? Okay, where's the rutzim? Now, the mouth is a little, doesn't want to get testimony against it, so it turns small. And as she's built up, there's the bechinah of the shofar, everything turns out okay. We just have to focus and do tshuva. Everything works out for the shofar, as the shofar is now. So that's the first thing, and the Maggid explains this idea that this is the idea of Rosh Hashanah. We want to make sure we have a good witness. Like we want the bechinah of being a bestower. I want to be a good bestower. I want to find out who I am, and I want to really, really, this month at the very least, to be focused and try. You know, when you have a judgment, what's the worst thing you can do?
Lose.
You were a judge. Well, yeah. Let's say. Let's say you were a judge. Person being judged for, I don't know, for robbing, you know, a car. What's one of the worst things he can do? He's waiting for a judgment. He has this particular date. He's got a month to wait. Now, what's the worst thing he can do?
Anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety, of course, is terrible. And you're right. Maybe it is the worst. I mean, after all, the guy gets a heart attack the day before his judgment. That wasn't such a smart move, right?
I'm waiting for the judgment.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the judgment. So of course, you can't stress. But what action could you do that would be like? You're just like, I can't believe you. What?
I think I heard something like this where, like, if you go to the judge and praise him, then they say you're a great judge, and then you spit in his face or something like that, that would be like.
That would be bad, but that's on the judgment day. But the worst thing you could do, the judge is sure to get on your case about, is if you steal another car while you're waiting. It's like, what you did, Dan? I'm so sorry. What are you sorry? You have a judgment, so at least stop, cease, desist. Enough. No, I'm taking another. I need a new ride. What can I do? What do you need a ride? What can you do? You robbed another bank. Are you crazy? You have a judgment. You don't understand? Takes bail, post bail, he robs the bank. Caught again. I mean, like, this guy is not for real. No, I was so mad. No, I mean, whatever he says is going to be very, very limited value. So the same thing, here we are, let's not get, like, at least, let's try as much as we can, no more repeating. Try as much as we can, not to repeat. I don't want to repeat things that I messed up on. At the very least, I want to hold on. Like, that's because we're going to have these witnesses. Rosh Hashanah is a Odeh connection. No, there's a very big question about Rosh Hashanah. We saw him go into this question. We don't notice that even the most wicked people just drop like flies after Rosh Hashanah. You would think he's really wicked. This guy, forget it. He's really wicked, bad man. He, watch out. After Rosh Hashanah, I hope he has a will testament in order because that's the end of it. And he's fine. Keeps on going fine, tooting along, no problem. What happened? So there are many ways of explaining this. Some Rishonim say that the main judgment of Rosh Hashanah is spiritual. not physical. That's what some shul says. So spiritual judgment, so then it depends on what, suddenly things aren't working out for him. He needs this Yeshua, that Yeshua, that Yeshua. And the judge about a year ago, he said, wow, I needed this Yeshua already a whole year. I didn't get it. Didn't come. I'm desperate. What do I do now? The year didn't happen. It must have been like an X year. What do you do now? The other things did work out. From this perspective, it was like not, didn't manage it. Didn't swing it. It didn't happen. Just didn't happen. Thought it would be okay, or this way, that way. No, not okay. Big problem, serious problem. Look back at the year and say, wow, this happened, that happened. Positive. There were also things that were really, really hard. Well, what happened? What does that mean? You start to figure out. That's the main. Rav Karelitz says, if you look back on your year, you can see how good your judgment was and what happened. What happened? Was it good? Was it not? You know, we say the guy, you're wondering, like, he's supposed to this way and that way, the other way, the different mahalchim, the sana tokev. You can understand it spiritually also, who this way, who that way, who the other way, he's different Indian. A weird person's going to have a dead year, and just the whole year is like, what happened to my year? We don't have to have a dead year, but like, I can see, I needed this, didn't happen. Well, maybe I took this for granted, maybe I wasn't careful enough, maybe I have to start to do a serious calculation, what happened this year? What happened to this year? What in the world happened? That's the question. What in the world happened? That's the question which needs to be worked out. What do I do? Like, what happened? Show me what happened. Show me how to be better. Show me how to be better. I don't know how to do this. Show me how to be better, please. That's really what it comes down to. Show me how to do it. I need help. I want to have a better year, a different year. Go in a different direction. Be a different person. Be a totally different person. That's what I'd like. I want to remember you. According to my level, not... If only I was. But according to my level, I want to try to remember you in my day. I want to try to connect to you as much as possible. Try to bring you in my life. Not do things that push away, Khalilah. Stay happy, stay strong. That's all the many, many great... Before I should explain, one of the great people explained that, you know, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, you have to be careful. It has to be with simcha. It's not a depressed kind. You don't feel like, oh, no, I'm so depressed. That's not a sign of a good judgment, that you're doing it right. That's a sign that you're messing up. That's a sign that you're messing up. When I feel like desperate, I feel like, you know, so that's my mouth, is I have to start to yearn. That's why I have to start to yearn. I haven't had to start to yearn. So go back to very basic things. I'm yearning for you, I want you so badly, I want to connect to you, I want to be better, I want to be improved. I want to find the real me, reveal who you want me to be. And that's a very happy place to be. It's a very wonderful place to be. That's why Gila Baradha, the Rebbe says, Besimcha Yagilun Kol Hayom, right? Joy, they will rejoice the entire day, is an acronym for Bechia. Because crying can't be with depression, the Rebbe says. Crying has to be with joy, from thankfulness. Here, I have an opportunity to cleanse my sins, get rid of all the garbage. What a wonderful thing. What a great, great thing. Such a special, special thing. You know, Belinsky tells them a beautiful story. He says, once I was on a bus. It was boiling hot. Everyone was put together. Somehow the engine wasn't working. You know, it could be 30 years ago.
Right here.
Yeah, like here. Yeah, exactly. But not so crowded at the moment. But, you know, he's like, the person, he's like, I'm dying. It's the middle of the summer, and it's like, then he sees this guy gets on. He's like, he's almost dancing. He's so happy. How are you so, wow, you're so happy. You look so spitzy, your clothing, you know, like you're all sweated up. It looks like you've been wearing Shabbos clothes, you're all sweated up. Why, how do you hold on to your joy? So I'm waiting 20 years for my sister to get married. To her wedding's in Haifa, I'm on the way. How can I not dance? I don't care about the stupid, who cares about the how I'll get there? I could care less, sweating, not sweating. I'm going to dance the whole way through, hot, not hot, it doesn't make a difference. He said, that's every person, we don't have to be the way, we don't have to feel the way. So you know, thank you, we're on the way, we're doing it, so we have to dance, be happy. You know, Yeshua is a happy, beautiful day. It's not a crunch. We have a chance to turn to Hashem and say, you're the Melech. He's okay, now let's go back, very back to basics. Very basic. Turn to me. Give yourself a new lease in life, a new chance, a new opportunity. So, you know, first of all, the foundation is the king. I'm here to serve the king. That's my purpose. That's number one. If that's your prime purpose, that's ready. Listen, okay, good. You're doing great. Excellent. Then you have to iron out the not so straight parts of things. But that's my purpose. That's what I'm here for. That's what I want. You know, there were a bunch of yeshiva brachim who went to the Chazon Ish. So can you tell us what Rosh Hashanah and Kippur helps? Great. Afterwards, you go right back and say, most people go right back and say, it's a rare person to find where he's just, you know,
totally changed. That's why in Kelm, they would say you should take on something, Nila. You feel so inspired. Do something. It's something that's well within your ability to do, not something too hard. Even a little something, and change something to you at least. Do something. Don't just like say, well, yeah, I'm so sorry. We should do something. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this thing. Whatever it may be. I'm going to do that thing. Find something. And usually, again, the rule is when you take on, you want to take something on, pick something that's really easy, and then half of that do. So it's like totally, totally easy. You definitely can do it, and then make sure to do it. And slowly but surely, you can build on something. Because how do you access? So they said, what does it help? What did it do? So he said, the fact that you're coming back and returning from falling holds you. At least you shouldn't fall much worse. You're holding on. Baruch Hashem, you're alive. You're inspired. You're alive. You're not in the same place anymore. It's a rare person who really totally changes. Then even a person who does change, he might have a fall. It happens. The fall happens. The question is what we do with the fall. What do I do with the fall? Do I use it to connect to Hashem? Do I find the right way? I mean, the Morishan says it, but Misfarim, you got to look for El. It's from a language of searching, or Nasno Sabriz, and Telechas, and for a little place. From the Targum, they searched out the land. So he says, El is searching for ways and strategies, workable strategies, which will enable me to change the way I live. That's what El is about. I need to find a workable strategy to change my problems, like things that express my troubles. Something's got to change there. You know, Rabbi Nachman says, what's the verse there? Look around. It brings from Eishes Chayil. Right, strength and splendor are her garment, and she left until her last day. Right, so the beginning of Oyz v'Hav Levusha is Levusha is Lamed, Bas Yitzchak is Vav, Leom is Lamed, and Achav is Aleph. That's Elu. Right, it's a backwards Elu, I believe. Elu, it says El is right. Bas Yitzchak, right, Levusha, Bas Yitzchak Yom Achav. And the Breslov Siddur would say that means you have a levush, you have a garment. Change that garment now by being happy, by being strong. Right? Strength and splendor, being strong, realizing who you're from, where you're from, where you are. You have a mission here. We have to do it. That's what the Breslov Siddur would explain. One of the things they would say about what El is. What is El? What are we doing? So, Kel Tosh Hashanah, I have to really, really try to focus every single drop of my strength. Every part of me, every iota, say I want very, very much to remember Hashem. These 2 days, purity of thoughts. I want to have pure thoughts. If a person goes to Uman, wonderful. That's the very, very best if you can. Sometimes a person can't. It's also possible. I think we spoke about it already. There were people who your life doesn't end if you don't make it to Uman. God forbid. Thank God I always have, except when my daughter was born 19 years ago. She was born on Friday, and Rosh Hashanah was Sunday night. I raised a ticket after I was sure my wife was worried to let me go. It was our first year together. Like, we were like a little bit close to the end of the first year. So I didn't want to feel like, if you don't let me, I'm not going. It was for sure to me. So eventually she said, no, I want you to go. And I set up a ticket that I couldn't make Thursday because the baby wasn't born. I was like, you know what? It's like, it's coming along in time. It's too bad. It's just one day. Why should I, you know, first babies, no one knows anything. It was already 2 weeks, she was whatever, thought that it was time. So I talked to them in the office, said, no, fine, come Motzei Shabbos, you'll have a ticket. Okay, Motzei Shabbos, fine. I show up Motzei Shabbos to the airport, have a new father, first child, Baruch Hashem, you know, and they're like, not enough tickets, they made a whole hatzaga. You know, even the guy who's the organizer is not going, of course he had a ticket, it was just fake. He went into the room, got his own ticket, he took my ticket, a baloney. He wasn't even going to Breslov, it was some other chassid. Or to do whatever he was doing in Russia and Ukraine, I guess. And that was then. So I missed that year. It was a very, very hard year. Very difficult for me. But there was no way I was going to go without my wife's agreeing. Some people, it depends on the relationship, it depends on the person, it depends on a lot of things. But sometimes a person can, you know, they can, God forbid, get divorced over it. It's not a joke, or almost, or start. So that's not what Rabbi Nachman meant. Divorce yourself and go, God forbid. And go, like, that's not what it's about. We have to yearn, we have to find the right way, or Rabash is a big expert, and find the right way to give it over to your wife that she'll be able to see how good it is and how special it is. Not fighting and I get my way. I, the Rebbe, the right, the truth. We'll do, that's not what it's about. And I had a friend who was a Sikver Chassid. He wasn't a Sikver. His wife was from Sikver. And he started from Satmar. He was in place where there was a lot of breastivers, learned a very strong yeshiva, and there was a breastivers there, and he got in touch with them, but he was still very strong. He came there just while he learned one of the best yeshivas for anybody, like very famous. And he married this girl from a Sephardic family. He was also from a Satmar family. It was a very good match. He wanted Uruman, and he just couldn't go. And I think he'd never gone either. He was never there. What do I do? He said, I can't. I mean, if I mention the slightest people going, my father-in-law, he's like, he's really a cursing out. Like, anyway, he's like, totally clear that it's a very, very, very negative, bad idea. It's clear they used to burn even breast of sperm, like, years ago, but, like, still, that's pretty sharp. So my wife, there's just nobody to talk to. She said, well, I should get a divorce? I'm not going to get a divorce. So he's also feeling very bad. And I told him the same word that I said over from LeBron before. I said, you know, listen, if you're yearning, you want really, but you can't really, it's if you're there. If someone's there, you get to thinking at all, but there's something missing, you got more in a certain way. So he was very inspired. He waited 4 years. And he's like, every year, he's like, where is she? Like, crying. But he can't. And he gave it to us. So he said, eventually, I saw him going. Met him in Uman. I said, how'd you get here? He said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, I told my wife, let's go to a Kibbutz Tzaddikim tour. We'll go around the Tzaddikim in Ukraine. She said, okay, cool, why not? Said, also, Uman was one of the... I said, I kept watching the other people going. I don't know if she got the idea that I really wanted to go. I sort of like, you know, I said, you know, I'd like to see what it's like. Lots of people going. There's a Satmar minyan there. There's lots of stuff happening. Like, I'd like to see it. It's supposed to be something really special. Like, wait, crazy. She was totally not. But he's like 4 years sort of working on her. Not that year. But just so she can get an idea that he'd like to try it out. Maybe it would help him. It'd be good for him. Rav Nachman said, he's still going to be a holy Jew. Yeah. So, they went to different kibbutz tzaddikim. And she's really liking it. They get to Uman. And you know, this men's section, women's section, they meet afterwards on the bus, and she said, wow, that is the most inspiring place I've ever been to in my life. She said, this is the place you were thinking of maybe coming with Shoshana? It was the summer. He said, yeah, I think I'd like to. She said, go! But your father, I don't care what my father says, go! And he's been there since then, 6 years or something, more. But you can't, if he had gone the first year, I mean, no one would have bet that he would have had a chance to stay there. Like, and he was a great guy, but like there's certain things where in that family like, you can't do it. He said, I really think it's going to lead to, we're living very nicely, but I really think like that's like over the top. All too much. That's just not what they do. And it took him time just to get her along, get her to get to where he was able to go. That's what he felt. Was he wrong? Would he have been divorced? Would he have been able to manage it? Wouldn't he? I don't know. Some wrestlers made a decision and said, I will be most nefesh. Perhaps most famously there was more Horowitz. He went and he broke through, he did tremendous things. But you have to be able to find the strength within yourself. Even if you know nothing's going to happen, you have the strength within yourself. You can't ruin your life and destroy yourself for something like, what's the idea? I'm not allowed to take, for example, I'll give you an example, and this is what Berlin said. So let's say, the only way you can go to Uman is by breaking Shabbos. You can't go. He said, even if it means rabbinic breaking Shabbos, someone will ride a fire driver jet, you just get in, and he's riding the jet for you, but it's not a Jew doing it, and then you show for Uman. He said, you're not going to do it. He said, it's the same thing. I mean, he was very sharp. He said, these boys who go in there, I don't know where they're going, I don't know what they're doing. He said, what about Tikkun Abris? He said, you can't go to Uman and have a Yubida. He said, that is not a holy thing. He was very clear. He said, what about taking a risk? Taking a risk is just like breaking shoulders. What do you think? Do you think you're allowed to go in? I'm like, God forbid, you go down. He said, wow, it's the worst experience I ever had. No wonder it was very, very high. Oh, I felt so high, I felt such light. But in terms of my actions, in terms of where my eyes were, oh my gosh, what happened? I have to spend the whole year, maybe I'll fix going to Uman. He said, listen, you got to find a way not to be there. You have to be there in Uman in holiness, not in unholiness. Very sharp, very strong. You have to know where you are and who you are. You can't... On the other hand, to miss Uman is missing a very, very great opportunity, which is cumulative. Each time is stronger. Each time is stronger. As Rabbi Yosef said, it's such a powerful experience. It can change a person's whole life. His whole focus can just change. And with Uman, something changes. People change. And I told the story before, I think, about this lawyer. I don't remember if it was that recent, maybe. I don't know. They had a lawyer's convention in... I don't remember where it was. Somewhere in Eastern Europe, I think. If not, so maybe close enough in Europe. And he was going with his buddy, who was also a lawyer, to be at this convention or whatever it was. It was a case, I don't even know what it was, to deal with a certain client, whatever it was. and they're from the same office, and they're going to go anyway to Ukraine or wherever it was. She said, you know, the guy used to be religious. He used to be Hasidic, and didn't stay Hasidic exactly. He didn't even keep Shabbos anymore. It's very, very far away from home. So what happened was, he said, well, I want to, you know, I'm going to Rosh Hashanah. He said, why don't you check it out? He said, I don't know. I'll go to Ukraine a couple. I said, you're anyway coming to the, let's just take one ticket. I'll go, you'll go, we'll go together. He said, all right, fine, you want, if you really want, okay, I'll go with you, no problem. So they went there, and they parted, and everything's very limited, very fun, very, very geschmack, very, very, very pleasant. But no one's pressuring this guy. I mean, he'll do what he wants. And it's like, they're there one day, they're there 2 days, it's already at Rosh Hashanah, he's never gone to the tzion, he doesn't do anything, he gets a cab, goes into town, does whatever he wants to do, and comes home, that's it. Fine. It's at Rosh Hashanah, it's already after Chatzos, people come back to break their fast, the rest of the day fast at least half a day, many people, probably most people even at least, who have such a custom, or more brings. So, he says, you know, show me where the tzion is, I'll check it out. So he sends the tzion, and you know, this long, sometimes you have these long afternoons, like Rosh Hashanah comes in like 7 something, and 12 something, so 12:40, 12:50, whatever. So it's like 1 hour, 2 hours. So he's like, what do you do? Go straight from there to the town at Rosh Hashanah? What happened to the guy? 10 minutes before the shkia, he walks in, he's too sweet. He says, give me tefillin. I know another person was there, but this guy also fell off, and he was married in Thailand, I don't know, not exactly to a Jewish woman, and he came also, he felt like he wanted to do Jew. And just flipped him, not even Rosh Hashanah, flipped him around, so he just changed. It's really good, why not? I came with open mind, decided to go Chloe, I did some photos, I'm like, I want to change direction of my life totally. He's like in Thailand, but I'm like totally. I mean, he's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I don't want to be here anymore. Like just from like that, there are many, many stories of such people. Just change, everything changed. There's a potential, a powerful potential. It's just a pity not to use it. It's a pity certain people, you know, there's a coffee room across the way, there's nice cake, and there's different lots of fun things to do, activities. There's this thing and that thing, and the shiurim are very important. Everything's very important. And so there's, you need a shiurim, you need a break, you need to get a coffee, you need to hold at night, whatever. But it's very important to try to use the time. If one is there, use every second possible at the tzion. And there's usually not so many seconds available. And I'm very glad that God willing, I hope this year the tickets that I bought, hopefully they'll still be good, though there shouldn't be some sort of world war, God forbid, in the area. But assuming it's possible to go, Hashem's help. So I hope I'll be there until Tuesday. I'll have an extra day or two to go up to the tzion and maybe spend some time and maybe get some quality time in somehow. Really want, it's very, very important. The times I've managed to stay late, if I haven't been ill, thank God. So very special. So those extra hours is just something very special happening. It's hard to describe it, hard to explain it. Something very, very powerful going on there. But again, the idea of Shana, a great Shana is joy. Joy and trembling, but joy. Some stuff also says this. Rosh Hashanah, for sure, you have to be happy. You can't be depressed. You can't sit down. You have to be very, very happy. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. Happiness. Thank you, Hashem. Here I am. I'm going to Chasana. I'm back on track. Mouth is the melody. You have to be happy. If you crown a king, you have to be happy. Can I tell you? What happened? Well, I broke my shoelace. Okay, very good. But now you're crowning the king. You can't be involved in nonsense. You have to be focused. Nekta Hashem. You want Hashem. Want the king. That's otherwise it's dedicated to King, God forbid. We're saying Hamel, we say with our whole self. We don't mention Avirah, none of this sort of thing. We just focus on the Malchus Hashem. Just focus on being Malchus Hashem, on making Hashem the King of the world. That's a very, very important point about what Rosh Hashanah is about. And I know that the first day of the year, Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the year is a very powerful opportunity to really, really mold my year. My whole year is determined based on Rosh Hashanah, Tenet Teshuvah, Yom Kippur. Those are the days that determine everything. That's why the Rebbe said, if you're very careful, you have to be smart, if you're wise, have good thoughts, holy pure thoughts. Not think bad things, not think foolish things. That's what the Rebbe says. So that's the first thing. Don't think silly things. Number one. Number two, you know, when you have a guest over, that's what Kelm points out. So when you have a guest over, and you know, I don't know, you could have been maybe a better host, do your best, but you know, you were busy, you were a little bit betrachted, I don't know how to say that in English, so good, you were preoccupied. So, this guest, I don't know how he feels about his time he spent in your house, in your home, but if you make a banquet at the end of his stay, it's a beautiful banquet, and his honor, and his meeting people, just picking him up, just to focus on him, everything is forgiven. He said the same thing now. He said the last Shabbos or two of the year, he said try to make a banquet. Try to, it's the last bit, and then we're losing out. What we're losing out is the whole year is leaving, the year is going out, and it's a new year. Let's make a banquet. Let's do it with a bang. He said, the main thing is the end. To do the end with joy, with the way it should be done. Now is our chance. The next two Shabbos of the year, we can fix the whole year. Shabbos is a tremendous power. We don't begin to know what Shabbos is, and we don't get it all. The more we learn about it, the more astounded we are by it. What in the world is Shabbos? What do you mean? What's it about? Things we don't get. We don't understand them at all. What Shabbos?
So are you saying you're going to understand that if you go home?
No. No way. But you'll feel a little bit more. Maybe a lot more, too. Depends. But understand it? I don't know who's understanding. I'm just trying to be, I want to... Before you have understanding, you're not definitional. The more you do and you really recoil, bring God into your life, the more you can understand and see things. The less you do, the less. So we're in the age of the internet, if you have a good day is when you... good days when you acted like a simple Jew of early generations. You just did what you're supposed to do. You didn't look what you're not supposed to look at. You didn't just waste your time. You used your time. Like, all these things are like, it's not so easy to get there. It's very easy to just, understand the job is a very, very towering level. Who has that? Who knows that? But to be like really, it's like no words. The more we learn about it, the more you see everything is Shabbos. And who knows what the Shabbos is? I saw something recently, I don't remember. He said, this Shabbos. You got this for Shabbos. Like, wow, Shabbos. Unbelievable. Rav Nachman says, Pesach, Slicha, Ali, Slicha. Sorry, it's not, it's really interrupting. My apologies. So, we want to connect to Shabbos, we want to connect to Hashem. This is a good time. So this is our chance. This is our opportunity. We have this special opportunity. Now is the time. El, this last Shabbos, the next Shabbos. It says if the Jews only kept two Shabbos and Mashiach would come, these especially these two Shabbos brought down. These two last Shabbos of the year. No, everything good. I'm not. It's all good. So these two Shabbos, those are the time. This is our chance. This is our opportunity. We want to at least to bring our personal gula. The way we do it is keeping these Shabbos with a lot of focus and a lot of connection to Hashem.
I have a question because I asked this question a lot, the same question, because I'm trying to understand the answer. I do not get the answer. I hear the words, I do not understand.
Okay.
So, I apologize.
No problem.
I don't understand. I don't understand the Kever, the Rabbi Nachman, and Uman, and Rosh Hashanah. I just can't put it together in my mind that what's going on there. I mean, if it was good for the Jewish people, it's good for Breslau. But it doesn't seem like to attract. Well, yeah, it does attract Jewish people from every walk of life. People that are probably just curious. But I don't understand this. You do it in Russia. You do it at the Uman. It's Rosh Hashanah. You won't believe it unless you're there. What did he say?
I can tell you.
Point in his life?
I can tell you a lot. But the bottom line, for sure, is going to be. I also can't really explain it to you, which is not the most satisfying answer in the world. I can give over something, and maybe you will understand. It's not going to be totally like we say in Yiddish, "Luf," like an air somewhere, like whatever. Yeah, just trust me to do it. You understand somewhat more. Nevertheless. In terms of like really seeing it, and you say, well, okay, it's a very beautiful cheshbon, I hear the calculation and how it all fits together, but I mean, I don't know, like, whatever. So that's hard to, if you don't see it, it's hard to really get it. So that's the first thing to be aware of. So the basic idea is like this. Rabbi Nachman was a tremendous tzaddik. We want to connect to it now. One of the best ways that he says is go to the kever. Hi, you want to come upstairs? Thanks a lot. So, one of the best ways that Ari talks about is connecting to the tzaddik by going to the kever of the tzaddik.
Any tzaddik.
Each tzaddik has its own wherever he is. Yes, certainly. Our sages tell us that Moshe's grave was hidden. Why? The Gemara says the Bach brings this, and then Yaakov brings it. They have this gears from the Gemara. It says if we knew where Moshe Rabbeinu's kever was, we had a serious problem before they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. We all knew that we're in trouble. Tshuva we didn't really want to do, or many didn't want to do. It was like, oh, what did he do? The Gemara tells us that the Tzaddikim didn't go out enough to try to help the masses. Hashem said to the accusing angel, listen, I can tell you, these guys were not going to do tshuva. Let's wipe out the bad guys, the good guys, let's leave them. So the accuser says, you know that, Hashem, but they didn't know that. Why didn't they try? And Hashem says, okay, we're going to start with the good guys. That's what the Gemara tells us. Now, so we were. This is our situation, our background. And then 40 years we saw the kids fasting. It looks bad, bad. So the Gemara says, if they'd known where Moshe Rabbeinu's kever was, by the way, it's in Chutzor, it's Derech Agav. Moshe Rabbeinu was not buried in Israel. He's out of Israel. Now, Pashas. As far as I remember, yes. Moshe Rabbeinu, as far as I remember, he was buried specifically just out of the, not in Israel, it's out of the borders of Israel, right? So you go, if they would have ran to Moshe Rabbeinu's grave, they would have died, and there would not have been any way to destroy the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara told us. Why not? What's the difference? Well, we're connected to Moshe Rabbeinu every time we learn Torah. Every bit of Torah we learn in Moshe, when you're really connected, you get this idea, the concept of Moshe, this is Bechina, Moshe is the Bechina, and every tzaddik, it's all very nice. But when you go to Moshe Rabbeinu's grave, and you ask Hashem, and this chosen tzaddik, please help us, we're in trouble, we don't know what to do, things get arranged in a better way. Oh. That's the bottom line. Now, we don't know what Moshe's grave is. The Nachman is the spitz of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the Shama. He brings down the Torah so that any person, whoever he is, whatever he went through, he can connect to Hashem. So if you want to spark to that, like in a different kind of level, you come. So we're not going to say Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. If you can't come Rosh Hashanah, make it up during the year. So but you should definitely at least once a year be at the Kever. And Rosh Hashanah is a much higher Bechina. You can make Tikkun, you don't wait the whole year around. You're not going to say that's Rosh Hashanah. I start to listen to the next one. That's my entire Bechina. That's who I am. Rosh Hashanah said he's Yom Kippur. That's why the Koch, I don't know who says this idea. Maybe Koch Yor, not sure. He says that Chanun Hamar Belisloach is Gematria Nasan. Gracious one who abundantly pardons. This is the numerical value of Nasan. So that's what Nasan, right? Slicha, that's Yom Kippur, and the Rebbe is Rosh Hashanah. But whatever you want to say, the bottom line is when you go to the Tzaddik, the Rebbe talks about it's very great, we talk a lot about it, you take a spark of a soul of the Tzaddik and it gives you something totally different to take that in. When you do that, you change yourself totally around. That's why the Rebbe says, I want you to become only Mamish. Literally like me, we want to take that spark in. When you do that, you have a different year. If you want, it's your choice. It's my choice. When I go, God willing, it's my choice. If I want, I can take it as spark, and as much as spark as I go, as much as I want, as much as I can say. So that's why even in blessing, and you have to be careful with these people also. So when you go to the tzion and you say, this is what I please, and beg and plead, you want a particular thing, it happens. So again, I know of a great Rav. He's like, listen, don't discourage people. What every person, no matter who they was, it always happens. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes things you don't see how it happens, but it's a physical thing. But nevertheless, there's so much truth to that. When you go and you like actions, you say, please, this way, that way, you're stubborn, so that everything works the way it's supposed to work. That's the bottom line of things. So that's like very, very minimal. So to tell you how that works, you have to go to sleep. But that's what we're doing, that's what we want. And Rosh Hashanah, because it's the hardest, highest day of the year, that's the day you want to be there. So that's the bottom line. I want a spark of my nothing soul. That's right, I do. And the place to get it is there. Can you theoretically get it in another way? And I won't say it's impossible. It's just not as easy, not as accessible, and not as powerful usually. That's the bottom line.
Mr. Chicken.
No.
What? No.
But you know that the Samach Mem, the Gra says that Samach Mem, the name of the Samach Mem is Samach Mem Al Lamed. He said, it's a Rosh Tevis of Sir Mesechta Ein Lassos. Don't make a Sium. Because Sium really messes up the other side. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. So Sium is good stuff. There we go, Ashrecha.
He did excellent.
No, he says not good for the other side. Good for you, the Amido. It's just not good for the other. They're not good ones. That's not good for them. But I didn't make a Sium. I'm just starting. So now we're going to do the Hilchos Shabbos.